Morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here. Got a good crowd with us after a lot of people have been sick. Even that said, there's a lot of faces looking at me, so I might be a little nervous. But hopefully I'll be all right, and hopefully I can encourage someone. And I know doing this lesson, it encouraged me from what I what I've studied. And our goal here is to help one another get to heaven. And if you've never been baptized, think about your soul. And that's what we're going to talk about a lot. If you have been baptized and fallen away, again, think about your soul. Me saying that, please pay attention to what I say. And if there's something I say that is not correct, let me know and where I can make it right. Because that's the last thing I want to do is contradict the Word of God. This morning, I want to look at, is it well with my soul? And in this lesson, we're going to talk about, or answer the question, why is it well with my soul? Is it because, well, it is because God is in control. And we're going to see that here in a minute. It's also because all things work together for good. It is well with my soul because troubles are temporary. And we heard this morning, Brother James and things, we all go through troubles. And we'll talk about that more here in a minute. Salvation is available for all. And why is it well with my soul? Because the end result is victory. Our objectives this morning is to explain why should we be able, well, let me start over. We should be able to explain why things are well with our souls. And then if not, we need to think about how to get things well with our souls. When I put this sermon together, I knew, well, what I try to do is think of things that helps me and encourage myself. And it did, like I said before, and I hope I can encourage each of us today. Let's start by looking at 1 John chapter 1. 3 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In this book, this is the third letter that John wrote, and he wrote it to his friend Gaius. And in the opening of this letter, John expresses his desire for Gaius to be in good physical health. But then he compares his physical health with his spiritual health. Verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I loved in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It is important for our health to be good. You live longer. But it's also important, or more important, that your spiritual health is in better shape. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. It is well with my soul. There is a song that we sing in our books, number 626. Evan, if you want to go ahead and go to that. And if you want to get out your song books, I'm going to read the words to this song. But before I sing it, we sing this song, I've read this before in our, we had a first Sunday singing about the backgrounds of the story, or the song rather, and I think it'd be appropriate to read it again. The author is Horatio Spafford. I would have never named my son that, but that's his name. This man was a successful lawyer and businessman who lived in Chicago. He had a wife and four children. They were no strangers to tears and tragedy. He lost their youngest son of pneumonia in 1871. The same year that they lost this son, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. Yet later on, his business did recover and it flourished once again. On November the 21st in 1873, an ocean liner that was crossing the Atlantic from the U.S. to Europe carrying 313 passengers. Among these passengers was his wife, and his four daughters. Mr. Spafford had planned to go with them but couldn't go on this ship due to the business, and he had planned to take another ship. So the ship that his wife and kids were on was about 4 days in its journey, and then it collided with another powerful Scottish ship, is what it was. Now the ship was in danger, and the author's wife, Anna, managed to get her four children to the deck of the ship. But within 12 minutes, the ship went under. carrying with it 226 of its passengers beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, including his four daughters. Only Anna survived. And this was the song that he wrote. And my point is, how could a man that lost so much still have great faith like he did? And we're going to discuss that more in just a minute. But let's look at the words that he wrote in this. I'll read the first four verses, and then we'll sing it. He said in verse 1, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and that he has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, O bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross that I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste today when faith shall be in sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Again, how could this man write such a beautiful song after what he lost? It's through his faith, that's how. Let's sing this song. Let me turn my mic off. From 626. Well, it ain't gonna work. All right, let's sing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
my soul. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump carry sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
So,
the author of this
Wonderful song knew that God was in control. And that is our first point here. God is in control. Have you ever felt like you were out of control? Have you ever been in a car wreck? I know I have. I've wrecked a few of them. You can ask Mom and Daddy. I pretty much broke them. Anyway, when you wreck, you have no control, especially if you're hydroplaning. Now, that's the worst feeling I've ever had. I felt like I wasn't. There was no way I was in control. Sometimes life feels out of control. Maybe it's your job. Maybe your job is not going like you want it to be. Maybe family members that you have made the wrong choices in their life. You can't control that. Maybe our government, which we all know well, maybe they make laws and put in effect that we cannot control, that we do not agree with, or maybe it goes against the Word of God. We can't control this, can we? We can know that God is in control of all things. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. All things by the word of his power. You open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So God is in control of all things. Now, knowing that God is in control of all things, it should bring peace to us. It should mean that, and I understand that I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers to the questions that I might raise up in my mind. Why does this happen? I don't know. I don't have to know. God is in control. God's going to deal with the choices of others. I can't control what my children do when they grow older. I have to accept that they are their own person and they have their own soul, their own mind, and I can't control it. There's nothing I can do. And I have to understand that whatever happens to me, God's going to take care of it. But something we need to realize first, Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added." I should just read it, but I'm paraphrasing. You know what I'm saying. If you're not seeking God first or putting him first in your life, these things ain't going to happen. It's just like we studied this morning in our class. They weren't worshiping with their heart. And God's not going to accept them, and he's not going to accept us either if we don't do these things. And that's how we get peace in our lives. Now, I would like for us to look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 23 through 27. It's a story that we all know well. Jesus calms a storm. Verse 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And when they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, in the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Think about that. If God can control the seas, I've never been on the ocean on the boat, but I've seen the waves on the beach, and I can imagine just someone speaking and calming that. God is in control. So what makes you think, or what makes me think, that God can't help me or control my life? Our next point, all things work together for good. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. No matter what happens to us or what we go through, these things that we are going through are overruled by God in the end. All the afflictions we face, we can overcome. It's sometimes hard for us to see the good in the bad situation. It's easy to focus on the bad things. We tend to worry about the problems that don't exist. How many of us do that? A lot. Worry about things that never happen. I could give you plenty of examples in my life, but I'm not going to do it. But we do seem to worry about things. Let's just say your children, for example. When they start driving, a lot of you have that experience. You worry about them. Well, what's going to happen? Well, I hope this don't happen. And I'm sitting here running these bad scenarios through my mind, and I had to stop thinking about that because that's not right. We're worrying about things that don't exist and probably won't exist, hopefully. Instead, we should be focused on things, on the good things that come from it. Think about Joseph. Did he have brothers that liked him? No, they hated him. Think of Joseph. They wanted to kill him. They put him in slavery. He was lied about when he was in slavery and he was sent to prison. But what happened to him? God raised him up, didn't he? No matter what he went through, God raised him up. Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. What about Jesus? Jesus' life. Think about the example of him. He was rejected by all men. He was despised by all men. He was cruelly beaten, crucified, killed on the cross. But God raised him up. And by doing that, his death brought salvation to all of us. Acts 3, verse 26. I'll read that. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So see, sometimes the things that we go through could be turned out for good. So keep that in mind. Because God can work all things for good, you can have peace in that. You can have peace knowing that even the good can come from bad circumstances. I love this verse, Romans 8, verse 35 through 37. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, and we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. No one can separate us from God but us alone, ourselves. And if we do, and we follow God, and we seek him first, he will take care of us. And you should have, and I should have, peace in knowing that. Our third point. Troubles are temporary. Everybody's got troubles. It's easy for me to sit back and say, nobody's got the troubles I got. But we do. We all got them. Some of us have disagreement with friends, neighbors, and family. Some of us have a shortage of finances. And we're in debt. And some more in other countries may have more basic problems, may have hunger, may have nakedness, lack of shelter. There are some people who have trouble associating with war. Some have diseases. All of us must deal with death. But look what our problem is how do we cope with them? How do you cope with the problems that you have? Do you feel sorry for yourself? Do you think yours is worse than anybody else's? We need to remember and keep in our minds that these troubles are only temporary. And for Christians, we are taught by God through the Bible. And 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18 says, "So do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." All these things that we're going through will go away. Our sickness that we may have will go away. All your debt will go away. And if you're faithful, it's a good thing. Our troubles help keep our minds on things that are eternal. It helps me think, I don't want to be here forever. If you're in sickness or have health problems, I don't think you want to live with that forever. And through this, you have the peace of knowing that it's going to be better one day. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." So again, knowing that our troubles are temporary gives us peace. Matthew 5, verses 11 through 12. "Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So no matter what the troubles is that you're facing, again, maybe your health is getting worse, you can overcome this problem. And again, know that there is a better place, and that should give you peace. Our fourth point here, salvation is available for all. It is well with your soul because salvation is available for all. I want you to think for a moment. Consider with me a world without the possibility of salvation. It'd be a world without hope. It'd be a world with no reason to live. And it'd be a world where you would never have peace or comfort from death. How sad would that be? So, to me and to you, we are so thankful that God sent His Son that we do have this salvation. And it gives us a reason to have peace. And if you will, turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. "For to this end we toil and strive, because we have hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." Hope is for those who believe. And that goes back to what we said earlier. If you've never been baptized or you're falling away, you don't have this hope right now. You need to get that hope before it's too late. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." So because salvation is available for all, we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Every man, every woman in this world has an opportunity to be saved. And that gives us peace that we need to know that my soul is well. Finally, the end result is victory. Have you ever, if you have a favorite team, if you're a big fan, you know your team's going to win, you have a good feeling about it, or if you played on a sport or team, you know you're going to win, it's a good feeling. Well, what a comfort it is to know that God teaches His people that we're going to win if you're faithful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." First John 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Revelation 17, verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and those who are called and chosen and faithful. So how is it well with my soul? Because I know in the end is victory. I know through all the trials and tribulations that I might go through, I know in the end I could be with God in a much better place. A place where there Satan cannot get to me. A place where evil things I cannot be tempted by anymore. And that should give us all peace of mind and comfort. Now finally, our conclusion is, and I hope this has helped y'all. It helped me. It is well with my soul because God is in control. I cannot control certain things in my life, and I have to live with that. And when we come to terms that the God is in control, your life is going to be a lot better. And when you realize, and when I realize, it is well with my soul because all things work together for good. I may go through things through my life, my job, or whatever. I may go through things that I feel like it's just getting away from it. But all things work out. There's good in everything if you look for it. And then I've seen that it is well with my soul because trouble is only temporary. Again, I can't stress it enough because this is where it hits home for me. You go through things, but you feel like it's going to last forever. But it's not. It's only temporary. And that should give us peace. We get peace from knowing that salvation is for all. Our children, our family, everyone has this opportunity. And we get peace from knowing that the end result is victory. We can be with God someday when our life is over. And the only thing I really need to point out, if you're not faithful to God, or if you've never obeyed his word, you don't have this peace. You don't have this hope. If you're falling away, you've lost the hope. You need to make it right before God, before it's too late. If there's anyone subject to the gospel of the invitation in any way, won't you please come now as we stand and sing.
He has been there oft before. Let him in. Let him in ere he is gone. Let him in, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Let